Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. I want to talk to you on the subject, God has spoken. And it's wonderful. A lot of people speak. A lot of people shouldn't. A lot of people should. And sometimes I hear people in the religious community, they seem like they hear from God every 5 seconds. You know, God told me to tell you. Tell you something, God can speak to you as good as he can speak to anybody else. God does use people though. But God has spoken. I believe in our day, God has spoken through his son. So let's notice the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, but he has in this last day spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant, speak your word, your people to hear. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God has spoken, praise the Lord, and God has given us his son, and he's spoken through his son, praise the Lord, and nothing can be left out. And we're in Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus into humanity, son of God, but nothing can be left out of God's work through his son. It is a complete work, and the work of Christ is not complete without the virgin birth. The work of God is not complete without it. It's not complete without Christ's sinless life. The gospel is not complete without his substitutionary death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and the promise of his second coming. But God has spoken. And God spoke in the Old Testament many, many times through people and to people. And you see the term many times, the angel of the Lord. In certain places it means Christ. Christ is not an angel, but he's used in that sense in several places. He's much greater than any angel. Angels are created beings. Christ is not a created being. He always is and always was, always will be. So God spoke in the Old Testament through prophets, priests, and kings. But as in his last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. He is the final revelation of God, Jesus Christ, and the faithful revelation of God, the powerful revelation of God. And it says here in the first verse that we read, God in his last days has spoken to us by his son. Verse 2 says that. And so we celebrate the birth of Christ into this world. And it is amazing to me how that God could come. He could put himself in humanity. That's one of the great mysteries of the gospel, that God could become humanity. Of all his greatness and power and who he is and his authority and all that he's done and spoke worlds and planets and galaxies into existence, how he could become humanity, could become a man. But he did. And God became a man. Praise the Lord. He didn't ever cease to be God, never will cease to be God. But he's fulfilled all Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king. Amen. He prophesied during his earthly life here, things that came to pass. He died and was a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he will fulfill the office of king, for he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They mocked him on the cross and put a sign over and said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." They put it in a mocking manner over his cross. But when he comes a second time, they won't want anybody to be mocking him. When he comes a second time, nobody will torture and kill my Lord and nail him to a cross. He's coming back in power and authority and glory. Praise God, he'll set his foot on the Mount of Olives. He'll become King of Kings and Lord of Lords there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's hard for me not to carry on that part of it. But first of all, God has spoken through his son. Through the virgin birth, God spoke to humanity. You say, well, why is the virgin birth so necessary? Let me tell you something. Everything hangs upon that. Some today even say that deny the virgin birth of Christ. And many people under the Roman Empire, many young women were raped and treated terribly. And some would say today that Jesus was the son of a Roman soldier. Many cults and false religions, false teachings today, they all have something in common. They all deny the deity of Christ. They say he was a good man, a great teacher, one who had a great set of ideas for people to live by. But I want to tell you something. That's not who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings. He's never ceased to be God. He's God, Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, he never began. He will never end. He is eternal Christ, eternally the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And so Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus was a God of a sort, but not Almighty God, who is Jehovah. And so I think they got the name of their organization mixed up. I don't think it's Jehovah's Witnesses at all. Not real, not the real Jehovah. But the entire gospel hangs upon the virgin birth of Christ. And we say, well, why? Why is that so important? Because you see, without the virgin birth of Christ, there would be no sinless blood. He would have the sinful blood running through his veins, and he would commit sin. But without the virgin birth, there is no sinless sacrifice. And without a sinless sacrifice, there could be no forgiveness of sins. And there could be no deliverance from sin's death penalty. And there would be no power to give eternal life. And no sinless blood to atone or to pay for our sins. It all hangs upon the virgin birth. Amen. And there would be no settled account with God. But you and I would still be a people laden with iniquity and still under the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. But God in these last days has spoken through his Son. And he's a creator. Christ not only is God, he's a creator as well. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, all involved in the creation. Amen. And so in Christ Jesus, there is all that is God. In Christ Jesus, there is all of God. In the book of Colossians, it tells us, chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. You cannot be complete without Christ in you, but you're complete in him. Without him, we're a complete failure. Amen. Without him, this is complete nonsense. But in Christ, we're complete. Amen. We're made complete in him. We are what we're supposed to be when we're covered by the righteousness of his Son. When Jesus rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your own life, then you're complete in him. And without him, you're not complete. But God's made it where we can be complete in him. Where you can be completely saved, completely born again, completely headed toward heaven. So we have here that God speaks. And God speaks in creation. Let's notice verse 2 here. He says, in the middle of it, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Amen. And so Christ is involved in the creation. Praise the Lord. And he spoke worlds into existence. It says here, by whom also he made the worlds, probably planets. Amen. And verse 3 says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. When God spoke the world into existence, when he set the planets in order, when he set the sun to be where it ought to be, we think it goes up and comes down. Really, the planets orbit around the sun. And I'm not here to give you a science lesson. I don't know enough to. That's not what I'm called to do. Anyway, But we know that things are upheld by the word of his power. If God did not speak the universe into existence and to order and order, then everything would just operate at its own will. But God has a will, and God has set it in order. He made the days to be 24 hours. Praise God. He made everything the way it should be, the seasons, the times. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. So we know that God created all things. He holds things. All things are upheld by the word of his power. I want to tell you something. If God wanted to, he could release all of that and just cause whole universes to go nuts. Probably not a good word. Just to go completely out of order. I've seen people that were completely out of order. You have too. But God is not out of order. God is powerful, and God is always on time, and God never fails. And so God had his time when he would send his Holy Spirit, and when he sent with a message and to Mary that he would create a son, or he would come in humanity. Praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus was not created, but he came in humanity as any human would come through the birth of a mother. In Luke 1:34, it says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since that I do not know a man?'" Now, Mary and Joseph, they were engaged, and that was just as binding as marriage almost. They just didn't come together for about a year. But they were engaged, and everybody knew it, and knew that was his wife, and he was a husband. Going to be. Amen. That happens in our day and time. Some of them are going to be, and some of them ought to be, and some of them ought not to be. Ought not to be. I'm not talking about marriages. I'm talking about engagements and dating. We live in a warped society where they think dating and mating is the same thing. But Mary said, "How can this be, since that I'm not married? I don't know a man." But the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will shadow over you. Also, that Holy One who has been born to you will be called the Son of God." Amen. And every Jewish woman thought, maybe somewhere or another I would be the one that would bring forth the Messiah. I would be the one that would bring forth the wanted one, the one that Israel was looking for, would bring forth the Messiah. But God chose Mary here, and she was the one. Praise the Lord. And Mary, as the Catholic Church teaches many times, that she was not sinless and she was not perpetually a virgin, but she was at this time until Christ was born. And though we revere Mary as a wonderful woman, she's not to be worshipped, and you can't go through her to get to God, as some teach. But she was a wonderful woman, no doubt. And she was chosen by God to bring forth and to bear Son of God, the Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. And so this is a wonderful thing. This is what Christmas is all about, is God coming down to mankind. Not about us going up to him, but about him coming to us. And through this, God would speak to man's sinful condition through Christ at his first coming. And Christ, as he grew and as he began to preach the gospel, as about 30 years of age, amen, he began to preach the truth. He began to, he undone every idea Pharisees and Sadducees ever had done up. It was undone. Amen. He spiritually untied their shoes. Okay. And God spoke to man's sinful condition, that man was sinful and without hope unless there was divine intervention. And Jesus taught that sin must be judged in the righteousness and the justice of God. And in the justice of God, death was required to pay for sin. That's what Jesus came to do. He spent all of his life knowing he was going to die at the end for a sin, our sins, and the sins of the whole world. And in God's justice, death required a payment, death penalty for sin. But Jesus, in his sinlessness, his teachings, his miracles, his sacrificial death on the cross, his bodily resurrection from the dead, he spoke to people that day, and it still speaks today. And so God has spoken through his Son. Second of all, God has spoken through his character. And God's character is giving. Amen. You look at any sinful religion, look at any cult, practice, whatever, what's going to dominate that is the money. Amen. And sadly, it's dominated too many so-called ministries. Don't get me wrong. I believe in paying tithes. I pay tithes, and I pay offerings above tithes, and I believe that God blesses that, and God meant for it to be. Amen. If you don't believe that, start believing it, because it's the gospel. Amen. But yet, there are people that are just, money is their idol. But God is into giving, and God's character is one of giving. Amen. We can't give God anything he doesn't already have, or that he can create if he wants, but we can give him ourselves. When you give your life to Jesus, you've given him from that point until you, not till you die, but in eternity, you've given him your life. And whatever happens, you belong to him. And awful things can happen, and tragic things can happen, but if you've given your life to him, you belong to God. He's got wonderful plans for you. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. And so good gifts are wonderful, but a perfect gift has to come from, has to have a divine source, has to come from God. Goodness and perfection has to have God as its source. So every good gift and every perfect gift, it has to come from God. Amen. And so we give gifts down here, and I thank God for it. And had a man tell me one time he thought it was a sin to have exchange presents at Christmas time. And he and his wife decided that was true. And so they didn't give gifts for their kids that year. And come to find out what the real problem was, he'd got laid off his job and didn't have any money to buy gifts, and that was really the only reason. There was no spiritual reason behind it at all. So it wasn't a sin, still not a sin. But we think of gifts here, and we buy gifts, and what you had last Christmas wasn't good enough, so you need something new this Christmas. Amen. And let me just get on everybody here. The last shoes you had, ladies, last Christmas wasn't good enough. You got to have more. Okay, let me get on the guys too. The last gun or rifle or sports thing that you had last Christmas isn't good enough. You need another one this time. Regardless of that, and hadn't been used six times, it's still not good enough. And so what happens is things come and go and they wear out, and we sell them at a garage sale and think it's wonderful that we made a little money at a garage sale, which really didn't clear any profit. But every good gift and perfect gift is from above. And Jesus was the perfect gift. Not a sinful gift, not a temporary gift, but a perfect and eternal gift. That's what God did when he sent his son. That's what he gave to us. And God did not send one of his angels. He didn't send the best, the highest and the mightiest angel come down here to give us something. He sent heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten son. Amen. And the natural gifts are good, desirable, but only last a short time. But God's gift is eternal. And God intends for you to have an eternal salvation, an eternal fellowship, and to experience his eternal love, and to have eternal hope, and to have eternal grace, and to have eternal fellowship with him. God chose you and I for that. And whether we receive that or not is a choice that you and I make. It doesn't mean that God gives it automatically and that you don't have to do anything. Yes, you've got to surrender your heart to him. You've got to give your life to him, and then you become his. And by giving your heart to him, you become spiritually born and become a child of God. He's the Lord. We have been born again into a living hope. It tells us that in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Amen. And we've been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'll tell you something, friend. God loves you. God cares. God went to every extent to save you in your sin. God had to do nothing. It wasn't God that sinned. It's mankind that sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's when he took on the sin nature and everything born to Adam and Eve from that time on. And in humanity would be born with a sin nature and a tendency to do wrong and to do evil and to do sinful things instead of to do right and to do good. I'll tell you what, the first sin in the Garden of Eden didn't help anybody here. But in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible, perishable seed, but of imperishable, incorruptible seed through the word of God which lives and abides forever. You know, when God's salvation, his gift to us, is not an it'll do gift. Many years ago, I drove into Amarillo for a particular purpose. Norma's from Amarillo. Wife. But I drove by, and this is no joke, the sign on the outside, an it'll do motel. I did not feel led to stop there. But you know, God's gift to humanity was not an it'll do salvation. It was an eternal blessed hope. God does. And God's gift is a perfect gift. And Jesus' life was a perfect life and a sinless life. His work on the cross was a perfect work. Our salvation, God took what was anything but perfect and made it perfect. That's what God does to us when he cleanses us and washes our sins away. He takes you and I who deserve nothing good from him, but he gives us what is good and what is perfect, and he makes us where we can have faith in him and in his righteousness and be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and then be accepted by Father God, the Father in heaven. And when you pass from this life, if your sins are covered by the blood of Christ, then God declares you justified, not guilty, and he says, come on in and enjoy the glories of heaven forever. That's what God gave. Not it'll do, or maybe, no, but perfect. Praise the Lord. Christ in us. Don't let this offend you. If it does, you need to be offended. But Christ in you and I is all the good there is in us. Without that, without Christ in us, we're no good. You say, well, I know some good people. I'm sure according to our definition of good, there are good people doing good things. Thank God for that. But to be good is only what God can make us. But his blood perfectly atones for sin, perfectly sanctifies us, perfectly makes us heaven ready. And his word declares that. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, meaning his life on the cross, his death on the cross, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Amen. A true Christian is in the process of being sanctified. Sanctification means deliverance from evil and or separation from evil and devotion to God. That's what sanctified means. People that don't want to be delivered from evil and don't have any intention of quitting what they're quitting the sins that they're in, they're not walking with God. They need to come to the cross and be saved first. And then that offering that Jesus offered on the cross has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And you say, well, I was sanctified years ago. No, you weren't. You're being sanctified as you walk with God. Sanctification is a progressive process, not a one-time thing. I've seen people that claim that they were sanctified. I had worked with a man one time. He claimed he was sanctified on a certain time. I worked with him 5 minutes and declared that he wasn't sanctified at all. His behavior showed he wasn't. But we're being sanctified. We're continually being separated from evil and continually being devoted to God. Truly, we are more sanctified and we become closer and closer to God the more time we spend with Him in His presence. And so we know that God has spoken through His character, and His character is giving eternal life. Last of all, God has spoken through divine prophecy. We know that the husband of Mary, Joseph, before they'd come together, she was found with child. And under Old Testament law, let me tell you something. When it comes to Old Testament law, you wouldn't want to live under the law of Moses. Because when an adulterous premarital sex, the man and the woman both, they had a rock concert in their honor. They stoned them to death. You know, you don't hear of any incarceration in the Old Testament. There were no prisons to put people in. I mean, the penalty of the law was executed immediately. No matter what you've done, you can be forgiven by Christ. Now you can confess your sins and God will forgive you. Thank God that He does. Amen. And God would forgive them, but there had to be an animal sacrifice, and that blood had to atone for that sin until the perfect sacrifice, Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, would come for all peoples. Amen. And so God has spoken through divine prophecy, and God told Joseph, He said, I want you to take Mary for your wife. He said, Lord, you know, according to the law, I can't do that. Yeah, go ahead. He said, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's not that she hadn't been unfaithful to you, Joseph. And they were told, in the book of Matthew, it's told, you know, that you will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And his name is Jesus, praise the Lord, which means Savior. Similar to the word for Joshua in the Old Testament, which means God is salvation. But he's much greater than Joshua. This is a Savior, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. I'm glad for that. We don't have an absent God. We don't have a God that might show up on occasion, but He can live in our hearts. Amen. And we can invite Christ to be Lord and King of our lives, and He can direct our lives and direct our steps in the way that we should live. And even in the Old Testament, many years before Christ, hundreds of years before Christ came along, it was prophesied about Jesus. He said, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And in the increase of His kingdom and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Amen. He was of the descendants of David, so He'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, He has spoken through divine prophecy. He will speak again one day. Friend, He will call us out. He will call His church up into heaven. He will call us up to be with Him forever. Praise God. He's not through talking. Amen. He's not through talking to you. He's not through leading you. He hadn't given up on you. He hadn't told you to quit. He's told you to keep walking with Him. He's told you, I came down here to be your friend and your guide and your companion and your Savior and your Lord and your King. Praise the Lord. He has spoken and the Son still speaks. Praise the Lord. He speaks to people's hearts every day. He calls people out of sin. You know. Praise the Lord. The Bible says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God's still calling people out of the darkness of sin. Still calling people to be His children. Still calling. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God loves us. Praise God.